Welcome to our webinar on long COVID. I'm Dr. Helen Burstyn, the CEO of the Council of Medical Specialty Societies. CMSS is a coalition of 55 specialty societies representing over 800,000 physicians across specialty, really invested in ensuring we share the expertise and collective voice of specialty societies in support of physicians and, very importantly, the patients they serve. This project is part of a long COVID education, engagement, and care management project funded by a cooperative agreement from CDC. Today, I am thrilled to be here with Dr. Alexandra Jantz, who is a pediatrician and pediatric infectious disease attending physician at Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. And this is a webinar specifically targeted through AAP and pediatricians. So, Dr. Jantz, delighted to be with you. Let's get started.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Burstyn.
Of course. And from here, we'll do Alexandra. So, Alexandra, can you tell me what the definition of long COVID is and how prevalent it is, particularly for kids in the United States?
So there are several definitions of long COVID that have been used over the past 5 years. I think the one I prefer is the WHO definition, which is symptoms that started within 3 months of a probable or documented COVID-19 infection that have lasted for at least 2 months. Could be waxing and waning or could be persistent symptoms, and also impact activities of daily living. So cause some disruption to a child's life.
Right.
And that's sort of a good definition that we use for our clinical population.
Perfect. And how prevalent is it among kids in the United States?
So again, based on various definitions and different study types, we see a huge range of prevalence. Normally, I quote 10 to 20% if you kind of look at all of the studies we see. Some are more in the 1 to 5%. So I usually say 5 to 10% on average.
But not a small number. So considering what the usual breadth, particularly general pediatricians' daily work is like, what's the compelling reason for them to prioritize long COVID among other issues?
So long COVID, just like as we're learning, all of these other infection-associated chronic conditions, things that start after an infection and then cause lifelong problems in many cases, you know, these can be very disruptive. So these conditions and long COVID can affect children during their most critical times of development and prevent them from going to school, prevent them from participating in activities, and set them on a path that is nowhere near what they thought they would be on and prevent them from being fully functional adults. So while it's not typically, you know, acutely fatal or something that we're worried about sending kids to the hospital on a regular basis, it's causing long-term impacts on them and on a population level.
Right. And certainly for pediatricians, I would assume, and their family impact as well. What are the key patient risk factors for kids that you think about who are most impacted by long COVID?
Yeah, so, you know, we do know that long COVID affects children of all ages across the spectrum. Some recent studies from the Recover Initiative, you know, characterized what long COVID looks like in each populations from infants up to young adults. And there tends to be a more frequent presentation of those in the adolescent age group, but some of that may be due to bias of reporting of symptoms and just the way that kids can communicate how they're feeling. In addition to that, we also know that those that are vaccinated are at lower risk of having severe disease, which is a risk factor for development of long COVID. We certainly see long COVID happening in kids that, you know, are mildly or asymptomatic infected, but it's, you know, more than twice the risk for those that are either hospitalized or have, you know, multiple four or more symptoms with their acute infection. Beyond that, reinfection, certainly a risk factor as well, which kind of ties back to that trying to minimize infection in the first place through vaccination. And those that have an underlying allergic condition, some association seen with ADHD, and definitely those with hypermobility syndromes like Ehlers-Danlos or other hypermobility are at risk for long COVID and other infection-associated chronic conditions.
So with the time constraints, we've covered this a little bit. How do you think about how pediatric medicine could really take care of this as opposed to always referring out? What fits within a pediatric practice? What should really go out to specialists?
I think that pediatric long COVID has to be a network. It has to be a multidisciplinary treatment and evaluation plan. So pediatricians, are the hub of this. They should start with talking to their patients that they know, following up with them, 4 weeks after an infection with a phone call or, an email message just to see if kids are recovering. If not, screening out other causes of the symptoms, basic things for fatigue. And if you're not getting any answers at that point and this persists for three months or so, that's when you get other specialists involved. Or if there seems to be one organ that in particular is affected. But really, this should start in some of the basic interventions in the pediatric home.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So I just want to thank you for your time today, Dr. Jans. That was perfect. But for more information and resources, please visit the CMSS website at cmss.org. Thank you all.